flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
At 2 o'clock hour, the poll thing and an aroused Chuck Schumer.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
All right, let's bring in Colonel Alan B. West and ask him about an aroused Chuck Schumer here on Talk Radio 1210.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, get away from me.
Bad vision. It's a bad vision. Oh, I don't want to think about Chuck Schumer and arousal.
Yeah, he said it several times. My producers, we need some military order here. I want you to give them a direct order to cease and desist, Colonel, because he said this today. They believe they're onto something here because of the alleged, which I think has been rescinded by the OBM director at this point, appraisal of government spending. And that's why Schumer was so aroused today.
Yeah. Well, it kind of reminds me of Chris Matthews and his that tingly feeling going up his leg. Look, another bad vision. First and foremost, fly, eagles, fly. Let's get that out of the way from down here in Texas. But, you know, one of the things we got to kind of understand is that, you know, Congress's duty is to appropriate funds to the executive branch, to the federal government, and then they spend it. Well, I don't understand how we could all of a sudden tell the federal government, the chief executive officer of the federal government, the president of the United States of America, oh, we're going to determine where you can spend that money, even though it's been appropriate. All he is talking about is a temporary pause on this money to say, okay, where is this dollar going? Where is that dollar going?
Right.
Do we really need to send millions of dollars down to South America for drag queen shows or things of this nature? So I think, again, Chuck Schumer may be aroused, but he is on the wrong side of this issue in the eyes of the American people.
People go around.
I felt this going up my leg.
When you were in Congress, though, how does this happen, though? Is it, let's face it, you know, as dedicated as you were, military then going, it had to be appalling for you. A guy of action, a guy of executive experience most of your life, and then you have to sit there with these people that are just not of that vintage. How does it happen that all that spending happens? What did you see?
Well, I remember writing a letter to Hal Rogers, who at the time in the House, he was the chairman of the Appropriations Committee. And understand, by the Constitution, the keeper of the purse string is the House of Representatives. So I don't even know how Chuck Schumer is interjecting himself into this. So I wrote a letter because there are 12 appropriations bills. The only thing by congressional mandate that the Congress is supposed to do, House and Senate, is to pass a budget. So I just asked a simple question. What are, you know, priority? How do these 12 appropriations bills lined up? And I never got a response back. So these people don't understand priorities. They don't understand budgeting. They don't understand, you know, really and truthfully aligning the spending of the federal government to the Constitution and those things that are articulated in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, 18 duties, tasks, responsibilities, mandates, whatever you want to call it, for the federal government. And I think that's what we have to get back to. And it's called constitutional governance. And I think that's the argument that Russ Vought and OMB should come back and say, show me where this aligns with our constitutional duty and responsibility as a federal government. Show me where, you know, drag queen shows. Why are we funding drag queen shows? There's so many things we can point out of the fraud, waste, and abuse, and that's what they have to be very specific in their response to idiots like Chuck Schumer.
Dan, you had a question. I'll let you phrase it.
Oh, no, I didn't have a question.
Okay, you want me to do it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Colonel.
No, I'll do it. You know
okay,
what? I want to do it. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Because we've been talking a lot, Colonel, and you said it earlier, fly, Eagles, fly, right? That the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's a sad situation here in Philadelphia. A pole climber is now in critical condition after falling off.
And no, he died.
He died?
Yes, he died.
Oh, man. That's even horrible. That's terrible. So, Colonel Wessa, you have a strong history with daring feats, especially involving motorcycles, and I'm just curious, would Colonel Alan West, I'm sorry to, you know, pity you with this question, but would you ever consider climbing a pole, Mr. West?
No, I don't do poles. I'm not a pole dancer. I'm not a pole dancer, not a climber. It doesn't arouse me. It doesn't send a tingling feeling up my leg. No, so I don't do poles. Okay.
Yeah. So we're getting at this because, you know, it comes down to what's a government supposed to do? I would call out Alan B. West, Dan, and I don't think he'd let you climb up the pole. He'd, you know, get like-minded people, and you're not going to be doing it. Colonel, we have a lot this week on something called malicious, I wrote down the whole, compliance, malicious compliance by the Air Force. When the Trump people said no DEI, or any iteration of it, the Air Force, and I was thinking about you instantly, takes out of their training these women pilots in World War II, but the crown jewel, in my mind, of people who overcame with excellence beyond belief. I interviewed at Stan Casaccio's house, where you've been a few times, a guy who was 95 and was a Tuskegee Airman, and he just wanted to know, why can't they let him fly a helicopter now? When you get these people at the Air Force saying, oh, yeah? You said no DEI. We'll take out the Tuskegee Airmen inspirational training tape.
Well, this is incredible, because what DEI is, and this whole thing about equity, it is the equality of outcomes. Now, the folks who went down to Tuskegee, all they wanted to do was to be fighter pilots. They didn't ask for any lowering or changing of standards. They didn't ask for any affirmative action. They said, we can be just as good as the other guys. As a matter of fact, we can be better. And when you think about the history of that fighter squadron, it was the most requested fighter squadron for bomber escort. Why? Because they never lost a bomber. And that's why I'm going to be honored to go down to Moulton Field at Tuskegee next month and do parachute jumps in honor of them and also the Triple Nickel, the first black paratroopers, the 555th Parachute Infantry Regiment, we know also as the Smoke Jumpers. Those guys didn't ask for any changing of the standards, but that's what DEI is all about. DEI is all about, you know, we're going to, you know, let you join the team because of. And you know, I don't understand where the Air Force is going. Furthermore, the Commander-in-Chief has said this is what's going to happen. You salute the flag and you drive on.
Yeah, absolutely. But it just shows you the work that has to be done in the military. Now, you saw it from the inside. You and I have talked about it 20 times over the years. But I think it still shocks me that this is an organization that you expect more of. You don't expect the mores of society to corrupt quite as much. It can corrupt, but this is corrupted at levels that really put us at risk. The president this week talked about, and I wanted to see what you knew about this, the Iron Dome, which I saw in Israel. Yeah. When I was there, it did knock down any number of missiles. I thought we had the capability through Reagan and subsequent maybe to shoot down one missile headed our way. Do you think that's the case?
I do not know, you know, from a classified standpoint. I know that we have the Patriot missile systems, but I think that what you're looking at is more so something, and what they're talking about is something that can be kinetic and non-kinetic, which means that we need to have a platform that can fire off an electromagnetic pulse that can disable the guidance system of a incoming rocket or missile system, as well as being able to have the kinetic ability to do that. So the Patriot missile solar system only goes up to a certain level of altitude. I think we're looking at something that can go up into a greater level of altitude, because we have got to start matching the capability and capacity of our enemy. You look at what North Korea is testing. You look at what Iran is trying to do. So President Trump is absolutely correct, which, and also that kind of gets you to understand why a country like Greenland is so important when you start to think about Russian incursion and their ability to get close to our coast. And look, we never want to see another spy balloon come over our country. So that's the level of granularity or strategic vision that I think President Trump is trying to produce to make sure that we are protected anywhere all across the United States of America. And look, it could be something as simple as, you know, a passenger airliner that is masquerading as such, and then you get the notification and it's up there at 35,000, 40,000 feet, and you can reach out and touch it.
Colonel, where do we find all things Colonel Alan B. West?
Oh, sure. You can find me, you know, not on that TikTok thing, because, you know, Dom and I, we don't support communists. But all the social media platforms, Substack, as a matter of fact, just released a little piece on Substack called "The An American Black Man's Interpretation of the 14th Amendment," this whole birthright citizenship crap that the left is trying to push on us, and Steadfast in Law podcast, and the American Constitutional Rights Union, theacru.org.
Colonel, thank you, and thanks for your salute to the Eagles.
Always a pleasure, man. You know, I think people are kind of getting tired of seeing, what's the name, Taylor Swift's boyfriend?
Travis Kelce, yeah.
That's his name, Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Thank you, Colonel.
All right.
Take care.
God bless. Take care, guys.
All right, Dan, you took the bullet there. You asked him that question about
people
the poll.
People are aroused.
got going. All right, the poll thing has got, you know, people saying, well, Italians do it in South Philly. They do have a nice street. They have an annual contest. But again, you sign a waiver.
Yeah.
They have the pole greased. I don't know if it's pig grease or whatever. And they climb to the top. And again, it's a situation that has more control, and you're signing a waiver. Should the police have these guys sign a waiver? All right, you can go up to the pole. Just sign the waiver.
Sure.
There you go. There's the solution. Yeah. Jim, King of Prussia. Hey, Jim, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Afternoon.
Yeah, I was just going to echo what Beth said about the Italian festivals. And, you know, my in-laws that grew up around 49th Street used to have festivals where they would climb the grease pole. And they didn't sign waivers back then, though, Dom.
Okay. Yeah. Well, should we let them do it?
Up the pole. Hey.
Should we let them do it in Philadelphia, though?
You know what? A lot of bad things happen. Kids get killed when they're sledding, right?
Oh, and my
God. Still sled, right? Stuff happens. It's we only like to think we have this much control over ourselves.
Wait a minute, Jim. You got to be kidding me. You can't, as public officials, say sledding is one thing and something goes wrong. I agree. We get people that too many regulations. But climbing poles in a manner like this, and there may be 20 or 30 people doing it, you think that's too much government interference?
I mean, you write citations, right? You do the best you can, but at the end of the day, people are going to do what they're going to do, and actions have consequences in this world.
All right. Thank you, Jim, very much. So he was 21. He wasn't 16. I get all that. But, Dan, you're with me. Our buddy, Robert of Ben Salem, seems to be on this side on Talk Radio 1210.
Uh-oh.
All right, Robert, tell us, you're on Henry's side here.
Hey, yeah, a little bit. How you doing, Dom?
Good,
and Dan?
Good.
I think that you guys are messing with Darwinism here, okay? Darwin had a point. It's natural selection. If you're a knucklehead and you want to climb a pole, no offense, Henry, because I'm sure I did the same thing when I was younger as well. But,
what do you mean you're sure? You either did or you
okay,
did.
Did you, Robert?
What's that?
Did you do something like that?
You said, I'm sure. I'm
sure. Well, see, I was a big tree climber when I was a kid, and I used to go 40, 50 feet up sometimes.
Okay.
So the heights didn't bother me. But I could easily see myself doing something like that at, like, a celebration. But it's like, Dom, you said it. Protect us from ourselves. And that's where I kind of drew the line, okay? If somebody's going to do something insanely stupid, do you want to protect them and ensure that they give us more? I call them yucca putz laws. And if you protect a yucca putz from himself, they procreate, and we have more yucca putzes. Do you follow me?
I'm not saying that because I don't think Henry's in that camp. So you see,
I am definitely a knucklehead.
Thank you, Henry. But there's another thing to consider, Tom. Being a dad is complicated enough. And when my kids were young, I figured one of my jobs was to keep my daughters off the pole. Now you're telling me I got to keep my sons off the pole.
You've been sitting on that line all show. Man. You and Chuck Schumer have to keep them off the pole. Yeah, well, that is the line. Was it Chris Rock that said that? That's your job as a dad with a daughter. Keep her off the pole.
Yep. Yeah. Did Robert Mitzel just quote Chris Rock?
Yeah, exactly.
Did not see that one coming.
All right, Robert, what's your side today?
After going on about Darwinism and yucca putz laws, my game changer is the seatbelt. It's 60 fatalities dropped 60% after they were instituted, and over 91% of people still use them today.
That is pretty good. Only 91%. All right, there you go.
Quite the roller coaster.
The seatbelt is a good answer. Really good. All right, 855-839-1210.
That word that starts with a Y that he kept saying, was I supposed to dump that?
No, okay. I don't think so. No, it was a made-up thing. I don't think. We're getting too much into Chuck Schumer thing. Things are going wild. Joy Behar. Levitt likely got the job because she's a 10, okay? I mean, do I think that presentation, how she looks, etc.,
people are aroused.
That plays into being the press secretary here? Yeah. But compare her to the French woman, the way she conducted herself and the way she engaged in it yesterday. Quite a difference. Is that a job where being attractive can be part of it? Yeah. I'm trying to think of all the press secretaries. But Joy Behar. Still trying to say that's DEI. She got it because she's a 10. Oh, my God. All right, Dan. I know we're reeling from this last. We can't continue this pace.
I thought we had this, Tom. Yeah. Wait, before we go, I just
Okay.
Remember this cut?
I actually am aroused by him.
I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
That's Bernie Sanders she was aroused by.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's Bernie. Yeah.
That's now, kind of fine.
Schumer,
out,
I bet that's on The View tomorrow. Schumer being aroused. Trump
people
is.
People are aroused.
President Trump is signing the Lake and Riley Act momentarily here, bipartisan. My column today, Delaware Valley Journal, you can check it out. It's bipartisan except for the three blondes from the suburbs, the Houlihan, the Dean of Decency, and Mary Gay Scanlon. And apparently suburban Philadelphia thinks Lake and Riley, so what? We're fine. Don't worry about anything. He's signing this at a podium in front of take just a little bit, then we'll go to Money Melody, maybe for a minute or so, just to hear the president on the signing
the
of this.
The unprecedented success our country has been witnessing in recent weeks. Since even before the election, we've been making extraordinary progress. The American people gave us a clear mandate to save our country, and we won all seven swing states by large margins, historic. Very importantly, we won the popular vote by millions and millions of votes. Also, all 50 states, as you know, shifted toward the Republican Party, and that's never happened before. All 50, every single one of them. In our first week in office, we set records, taking over 350 executive actions. That's not been done before. And it has reportedly been the single most effective opening week of any presidency in history.
Okay, there's a president as a prelude to the Lake and Riley Act that he's signing, not at the desk. This is in front of the formal where they do a press conference. I don't know if he's going to take questions after that. We'll see. But right now, it's time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
So the money gone.
All right, today we're playing for a pair of tickets to see the Dirk Quinn Band's Scabby Toad, a unique musical adventure with a reimagining of the Beatles' Abbey Road at the Zlock Performing Arts Center on the campus of Bucks County Community College on January 31st. We love the Zlock. Dan, what do you have?
Beatles, quite the game changer, huh?
Yeah.
Look at that. Great prize today.
Definitely.
So, Dom, today we're talking another game changer in the realm of music, and I'm about to blow your mind, Dom, because I'm going to take you back to the late 60s, where a burgeoning musician decided to take a French instrumental and write the words to a song that was later picked up and turned into a different song. So, Dom, I'm going to play him singing a demo of him doing his words to this song. I want to know who this game changer is. This person's a game changer.
Okay.
And, Dom, take a listen to this song. It's originally a French song that he wrote the words to, and it was later change the words by somebody else who wrote their own take on it, and it became a hit. I'm sure you can tell what hit it was. Take a listen.
Oh, how I dream a marvelous dream. The of the heavens, oh, so it seems, with thunders of course, look down from above, are a cloud and an angel. So much in love, I'll stay with my dream. It ain't such a dream, and even a fool's love.
Wow, what a story that ended up into something so much better.
Yeah, it became My Way once Paul Anka wrote his take on the lyrics to that French song. But we want to know who this game changer was that wrote, before Paul Anka, his version to this French song, Dom. A game changer that later went on to have an enormous career in the late 60s, wrote the words to the French song that became My Way later on.
All right. 855-839-1210. Get in on that. Coming up, we'll get the answer. And I'll tell you who's in studio tomorrow and approximately what time. It'll be a YouTube alert around this big stuff here on Talk Radio 1210.
It's the Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me.
That's exactly right. Let's hear the clue today. Who is singing this song?
And a little backstory, Dom. Yes. I just want to get it out there. Late 60s, this guy working for a record company takes a French song and writes, pens words for it, creates a demo out of it, hands it off, but nope, doesn't turn into anything because Paul Anka writes his own words to it, hands it off to Frank Sinatra and becomes a hit. But here is this person's version, and we want to know who it is that wrote this version. Take a listen.
He turned around and saw her smile. Oh, how she loved me. She'd clap her hands.
All right, let's go to Robin in Huntington Valley. Robin, who's singing that song?
Could that be Johnny Mathis?
No, Johnny Mathis.
All right. Jack in Swedesboro, Talk Radio 1210. Who's singing it, Jack?
Hey, Dom. I think it's David Bowie.
Wow, I would have gotten that. And David Bowie couldn't protect his... Well, he didn't have anything to protect. Who cared? You know?
Yeah, he was nobody at the time. Right. Known as David Jones at the time, working for Denmark Street, London, or a pair of music publishers on Denmark Street, London. And, wrote this to a song called Comme de Habitude, a French tune that was released in 1967, then taken, penned lyrics 68 by Bowie, also 68. Anka writes his lyrics, hands it off to Sinatra, and it becomes My Way, Dom.
Thank you very much, Jack. I'll put you on hold. We'll get the tickets to you. And that age-old question, who has the right to don the mantle and sing that song? Not Paul Anka. He can't.
What do you mean he wrote it?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's Sinatra. The image of
it.
Sinatra hovers over it. Elvis, I've said, all right, Elvis, you can do it. There are very few, though. Is there anybody contemporary today who'd be able to do it?
Yeah, there's a country singer who did it really well recently. He released an entire album of Frank Sinatra songs.
How old's a country singer?
Young-ish.
Can't do it then.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I just think you have to be a certain age. You can't be 30 or 40 and doing that. It just doesn't...
And Mark Tremonti from Creed, the guitarist from Creed, also did a Frank Sinatra cover. And he does it really well, Dom, I gotta say.
Okay.
I see if I can grab that for you.
Okay. Couple things. One, couple great answers on Twitter. The Fosbury flop. I remember watching that. I don't know if it was the Olympics, the high jumper, when he did that. Preposterous. It was so effective. Versus the way they used to do it. And Viagra as a game changer. Yeah, those are two good. Fosbury Flop and Viagra. And tomorrow, Dan, we have on board in studio, I'm told, right?
Yes.
the Harlem Globetrotters.
He'll be here live in the studio, yeah.
And I think
teaching you how to spin something?
Yeah, I think the trick that they will... I envision you and Henry spinning a ball behind me as I'm spinning it on the air, and we'll capture that on YouTube. And what time are they here?
Right to lead off the show.
Noon tomorrow. You got to be watching on YouTube. This is a must-see. If you've never seen the Globetrotters, I'm sure they'll teach us that, maybe something else. You know, I don't know how many basketball moves. Should we come with basketball shorts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will have it tomorrow. All right. YouTube.com/1210WPHD.
Show off your awesome passing skills. Maybe do something between the legs.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of windows in here. We got to be careful. But the Harlem Globetrotters coming back. They are still a thing. And I think next year is their 100th anniversary.
Woo.
That's hard to believe. Wilt played for them, of course. I think these guys are more ball handlers coming in. But they apparently say they can teach anybody how to spin a basketball. We'll see.
We'll see. How deep does anybody go? Does that cover Don Giordano?
If you happen to be in a neighborhood, maybe we could let you stop in and see if you can do it.
Let me play you some of Tremonti. Can I?
This guy's strong.
He's former Cree guitarist, now does Tremonti's own band. But listen to his voice and how close it is to Sinatra. Ready?
Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out.
It's pretty good. It's probably an aging thing.
Tone,
when Sinatra says spit it out, oh God, there's nothing. Ownership of a song.
Yeah, with the emotion behind it.
Oh, yeah, the emotion behind it. Everybody knew the story with him, too. So, yeah. Good attempt, though, without a doubt. All right, we're coming up. Victoria Coates is going to join us from the Heritage Foundation, because tomorrow we have part two, as I understand it, right, of the Kennedy hearing. And we're going to have on tomorrow the person that is Kennedy's lawyer for the Children's Defense Fund, intimately involved in all the details of what happened today and what happens tomorrow. But Victoria Coates is with us to kind of preview Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel. And Kash Patel has the best chance of the three, according to some people, of being confirmed for the FBI. All right, so I definitely share that. She's coming up, and I want to also ask her about this Iron Dome and a couple of other things the president's been involved in. Victoria Coates, and then your answer to the side question coming up.
In the process, we identified and stopped $50 million being sent to Gaza to buy condoms for Hamas. $50 million. And you know what's happened to them? They've used them as a method of making bombs. How about that?
All right, national security threat, the condoms, it's ludicrous, the whole thing. Whatever we're spending, if it's not $50 million, anywhere near that, Dom Giordano Show joining us, because tomorrow we have Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel on the docket, is Dr. Victoria Coates, the Vice President of Heritage's Catherine and Shelby Cullum Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy. Her current book, we've had her on about this, The Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. She joins us here, and without further ado, she is a big Eagles fan. Dr. Victoria, thank you for joining us again.
Absolutely a pleasure. Go Birds.
Absolutely. The Patel-Gabbard thing here, people that I speak with think that Patel has the better chance, which is surprising since, to me, he'd be the more consequential. The Gabbard thing, I know, is consequential, but it's not the CIA director or something like that. Patel at the FBI, that's where there would be a lot of action. Do you share that she has more difficulty than Patel does?
I think, just as a caveat, both Kash and Tulsi are personal friends of mine, and I like them enormously, and I do support their nominations. I think they would both be good at these respective slots. I think, yes, the issue at the FBI is so acute and requiring such thorough replumbing of that entire building and all of its offshoots. And I think what Cash brings in terms of his knowledge of the national security apparatus, his experience as a lawyer, his experience in the Congress, you know, he understands a lot of these mechanisms and levers that he is going to have to deploy to clean up the FBI. You know, that in a way, I suppose he is a more consequential nominee. But at the same time, the Gabbard nomination is going to be enormously important to President Trump. She will be his personal intelligence advisor, making sure the best intelligence is getting to him. And where I think she would be particularly effective is asking a lot of really hard questions of the intelligence community, which she is not afraid to do. And we've had some bad intel failures over the last 4 years, not so much because our men and women doing the collecting are in any way faulty. I think they're great Americans, but because biases and assumptions from our top leadership prevented, you know, sort of getting a full range of views. And so she is also, I think, very important. And, you know, it's a shame that having non-conventional voices is apparently so upsetting to some people, but hopefully they'll both get through.
What's the most consequential of those intelligence failures, and why did that happen based on your point that you just made? What wasn't asked, or what was the bias?
I would say the fundamental one was Afghanistan. It was the assumption that the government of Afghanistan would hold for 6 months to 24 mm-hmm. months at mm-hmm. least. And I think President Biden came into office with one thought in his head, which is that it would get him reelect to get out of Afghanistan. He was looking at polling that said that. I think he was personally angry that he lost the argument about withdrawing from Afghanistan during the Obama administration, and he was going to do that. And regardless of what anyone else said, you know, he clung to that. It'll be 6 months to 2 years. He wouldn't hear any different. He wouldn't hear his senior military people saying, gee, maybe we'd better keep 2,500 at Bagram. He was going to get fully out by the 20th anniversary of 9/11 and hell or high water, and both came, and he did it anyway. So it's that kind of, this is what we're going to do from the top. And you know, what you believe to be true then as an analyst stops really matter.
Yeah, absolutely. The question I've been really waiting to ask you, though, is this unprecedented that the committee will vote in secret on Tulsi Gabbard? We know it's intelligence and all that. That, I, at least when I read Dr. Victoria, that's unprecedented.
According to our government relations people, there is some precedent for it, but it is highly unusual. And I think it's particularly damaging in this case. I think people need to stand up and be counted. I don't see why, if all these other nominees, some of whom are controversial, I'm sure people will have tough votes on RFK, for example. Why shouldn't you have to be counted on your ODNI vote? I mean, the CIA votes were public. So I just really disagree with it. And I think it's unhealthy. And, you know, I would think more members of Congress would be interested in having somebody who isn't a political ideologue going into a position like this. She's been a Democrat. She's been an independent. Now she's a registered Republican. You know, this is not somebody who has, you know, a fierce partisan mm-hmm. ideology. She's just going for the best information she can find. And I don't understand why that is rubbing some folks the wrong way.
And I would think on this, there are tougher votes, like the RFK Jr. might be a pretty tough vote. It would seem to me the ones that want this secret more likely would be the Republicans, then, because Democrats that oppose her, they're sort of where Democrats are now. I don't think they would be in trouble.
No, and that's the worry that we have. I don't know that to be the case, but my concern is that there are members of the committee who have not been particularly supportive of President Trump. They don't want to be primaried, and so, you know, they would prefer a sort of cloak of anonymity. My hope is that Senator Cotton does not agree to this. You know, he has been very supportive of her and, you know, and open to talks with her. And so I very much hope that that he holds the line on this and makes these people own what they're going to do.
I would agree. If Cotton is for Tulsi Gabbard, that should erase, conservatives, Republicans, their point of view. Nobody would I trust more out of the people I see there to vouch for her and to be in that corner. Now, what will they center on with Tulsi Gabbard and then with Kash Patel, do you think? The Section 702, is it Assad? Is that where a lot of this goes?
I have to assume that there's going to be a lot on Syria, Section 702. They are going after her about this Hindu sect. There was a big piece in the Wall Street Journal that dropped last night about, her religion. She has said she is not a member of this. None of the questions about that particular group of Hindus seem to be particularly related to her. So, it seems to me that all of us who stand up for religious liberty want to be a little bit cautious about saying just because we have someone who is a devout practicing Hindu that we're suddenly going to call their religion, a cult and say they are not they are not worthy of serving in a high office. So that to me was unbecoming, I thought, of the Wall Street Journal to go down that particular line of attack. That could come up, I suppose. And I don't know who would decide that was a good idea to raise. But, heck, I didn't have measles and Samoa or baby onesies on my bingo card for the RFK hearing today. So.
Now, where are you watching, though? Because it's been a joke through the show that Chuck Schumer is talking about how aroused he is and all Democrats
yes.
again and again. Oh, we've beaten it to death. But is it your sense that they really believe now that this is the shot of Trump, the federal budget, that the American public is going to rise up over that, even though the Trump people now have moved back on this for now?
In terms of reconciliation and getting
yes.
that done?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is the big thing that has to happen. And, I thought that maybe going down to Florida for a couple of days this week was maybe not the best use of their time, that they should have been up here, starting to get what needs to be done for reconciliation. However they're going to manage that with the border, we have to get the border stuff, that money done, so that my until 6 weeks ago visiting fellow Ton Holman can do everything he needs to do. He's already doing the Lord's work. And, the president has in some ways made material progress on that situation in a week with, the apprehensions down 63% because people aren't coming, deportations in the thousands. That is all well and good, but they're going to need lots more money in pretty short order to be able to keep making this progress.
Dr. Victoria, thank you so much. And the book is a great read, How You Tie Everything Together. Next time that we talk, we'll try to work that in a lot more. But thank you for joining us, as always.
Always a pleasure. You guys take care.
Dr. Victoria Coates here on Talk Radio 1210. Let me take one call, then we'll have the lightning round. Come on, Henry. This guy can't agree with me on almost 100% here. Rick in... I've never saw in
Orwigsburg.
Orwigsburg. Is that in Bucks County? It strikes me as a Bucks County.
That's up near Reading.
Oh, near Reading. Hey,
no,
Rick.
It's up near Reading.
Okay, Rick, thanks for joining us near Reading. What do you have on your mind?
I do agree with you for almost 100% on everything. I was born in Kensington, Philadelphia. Spent a lot of time with a lot of your Lanchmen and my Goombas down in South Philly. I went then to Mayfair when I was about 2, moved to Bucks County when I was 5, and I left there in 2015 and went down the shore. Everywhere I went, I was politically connected, but always split my vote. Even though I was a conservative Republican, I voted for Eddie Rendell because I thought he would make a better manager.
All right, so what's on your mind today, Rick?
What's on my mind today is I think we got to discuss these morons that are, and I can name them, Pocahontas, okay, who cares nothing about anything except money. She proved that when she said she was an Indian to get into her college job, okay. Bernie Channon, good friend of mine, excuse me, Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders, who is not a communist, definitely a socialist.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks. He did the onesies thing today. I'm still trying to figure out what that is here. We'll work on that. Yes.
What a guy.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Lake and Riley's mom is there with the president, emotional, as they sign this. I wonder what the response would be if they were in the room of the three that I wrote about today. Houlihan, the Dean of Decency, and Mary Gay Scanlon, who all voted against the Lake and Riley Act. More importantly, though, they're ideologues, fools. The people in those suburban areas surrounding Philadelphia, what the hell are they thinking? This is just a prime example why you guys are exploiting the emotion of this. Look, we have enough criminals in this country. We don't need to import people whose sole mission in life is to commit crime after crime. And in this case, rape and murder her after they've gotten out of jail multiple times and broke into the country. We don't need any more. All right, it's the lightning round next here on Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
That's right. Coming off all these things that happened in the last couple of days, we're looking for that game changer, something, somebody who really changed things. Let's go to Dwayne in Valley Forge, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Dwayne, what do you have today?
Yeah, I was finishing my lunch, and, we had talked about RFK and the FDA, and we were laughing about Schumer and talking about arousal and Robert throws in pole dancing. So I have to say that it's a side question. Yeah. So I have to say, if the side question is all about a game changer, it has to be 1960 when the FDA released the birth control pill.
That's a pretty good one. I got to say, that is a huge game changer.
I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
Everybody, Victoria Coates, everybody else, same thing with this guy. The great Joe of Exton.
I actually am aroused by him.
That's Bernie Sanders. Joe, what's yours?
Yes. Hello, Dom, and good afternoon.
Afternoon.
A subtle change in the culture took place when the businesses such as Lowe's and Home Depot came on the scene and represented the supermarket of hardware stores.
Good or bad, Joe? I say bad. What do you say?
Well, it's bad for the entrepreneur, local businessman.
Yeah. Well, it's the entrepreneur, the guy in a hardware store knows something. I don't know those other businesses know anything. Same thing with the drugstore versus the neighborhood pharmacist.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's go to Earl in Tacony. All right, Earl, what do you have today?
Chuck Schumer's just a dirty old man. He tried to get those naked pictures of Trump from those radio DJs that called him the one time. If you remember during impeachment, he was talking about Trump's erection interference. And the guy's just a creep. But my answer is going to be... I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
I've seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
There you go. You continue the arousal conversation. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
But my answer is going to be the automatic transmission. It didn't keep Dom Giordano from driving with 2 feet. But, I pay attention to the show. We had one guy that used to work for us. We couldn't get rid of him because he was the only one that knew how to drive a stick. And when we finally got a truck to replace that truck, he said, hey, we got a new employee today. His name's Otto Trans. It's...
Gotcha. Thank you, Earl. All right. That was good on that one. Let's try... John in Westchester. John, what's yours?
Hi, Dom and Dan and the rest
Hi.
Of you guys.
Hi, John.
My side answer is splitting or cracking the atom.
Yeah, that's what we say. They're not going to be splitting atoms. They're not geniuses. We still use that along with Einstein as a sign of really doing something. Absolutely.
Really
it's not
done
brain
much,
surgery.
Though, I mean...
What, splitting the atom?
Yeah.
Well, we have... 30,000 nuclear weapons aimed at us right now, so I guess maybe, it's only a minor thing.
Use, no.
Yeah.
A black hole?
Yeah. Joe in Bordentown on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Joe, what do you have today?
Nikola Tesla, who perfected and developed alternating current, which is vital to a modern society. And also, I have something other to add, that David Bowie played Tesla in the movie The Prestige.
Oh, I did not know that.
He did. He's fantastic in that role.
Yeah, he should have played Edison. Who played Edison? That's what I'm going to... Let's look that one up.
I don't think he was in that movie.
Dave in Levittown. Hey, Dave. Afternoon. What do you have?
Yeah, Dom, game changer, GPS. We'd all be lost without it.
Yeah.
I'd be lost without it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good joke there.
Yeah, pretty good. Siri is not reliable, and our own, it made the day of looking at maps just to go.
I don't know how people traveled back in the day. I genuinely think that all the time. I don't know how you like pull out a map while driving, like, get off here. Like,
you almost had to have somebody read the map.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true. It's much. That is pretty good. That is a big deal as far as everyday convenience.
So were you the map reader or was Ro the map reader?
Oh, Ro's the map reader. Ro's not. Nobody else is driving. You know that, Dan. Come on.
I mean,
Richard
she
Petty,
probably
shove
should.
Over.
I would think she's a much better driver than
who
drives
with
2 feet.
I don't think so.
No?
It's an extra foot for the brake. That's all it is. I bet 10% of the people listening drive with 2 feet. I'll make that 15%.
No.
It's lower than that.
How much of our audience is police officers? Because apparently they all drive with 2 feet.
See, that ought to tell you something. Joe in Columbus. Joe, you look like someone that would drive with 2 feet.
Tom, I got the last year standard model of Audi, so I got to drive with 2 feet.
There you go. I knew it right there. There you go.
Yeah, but he's driving a manual.
Well, that doesn't matter. Okay, it's still 2 feet. All right, Joe, what's your answer?
Well, on this day of global warming... And don't misinterpret that. Mine is refrigeration, air conditioning.
Air conditioning is always a good answer to almost anything. Big, big deal. All right, Henry, did you like one today that stood out to you?
Yeah, I thought Dwayne and Valley Forge's answer of birth control fit the theme today. But Earl of Tacconi with the automatic transmission. I mean, where would we be without that?
Okay, I like the GPS, too. I'm going back and
forth
with the
GPS.
The birth control I like, though. That is, come on.
I mean, did he mean to make a joke with the GPS of we'd be lost without it? Because that's a great dad joke. So
yeah.
I'm leaning there. Maybe the refrigerating with the air conditioning was a good one. Instant replay completely changed watching sports.
Yeah, that's only sports, though. So you like the GPS.
I can go with birth control, too, Dwayne Valley
I
Forge.
Go with GPS you could, well.
I go with birth control.
Oh!
I thought that fit
Dwayne
everything.
Forge,
yeah, Dwayne and Valley Forge. Yeah. GPS, you might get lost. Birth control, that might be other problems. All right. Rich is next for 4 big hours. And tomorrow, right at high noon, Dan and I and Henry probably are going to be, somebody's got to be at the controls, but we'll be spinning basketballs with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Ooh,
we'll see how good they are.
Aroused.
We'll also continue that into tomorrow. I mean, how can you resist? It's just hard. What a day. Follow on Twitter at DomShow1210. Again, Rich next. It's Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, man, who's that cat coming down?
PhD.
I don't know, but it's time for me.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.